lift your head, we'll be sinners. The river's just ahead. Down the valley.
And this is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. It's another week. That means it's time to go on air and talk about life, talk about hope, and talk about all that is going on around the city and around the country. So what we want to do today, what I'm going to do today is focus on Holy Week. So some of you may be wondering, well, what does that got to do with hope? Why are you going to talk about Holy Week? But first off, I'm going to talk about it because I'm a Christian, and this is an amazing week where we celebrate what Christ did for us. So we look at the cross, we look at an empty tomb, and we celebrate that. So what I want to do today is I want to talk about that, and I'm going to dive into Scripture. We're going to read Scripture. We're going to talk about that, and then I'm going to connect that to Hope Resource Center and what that means for us as believers, what that means for our patients, what that means for the pro-life movement. So what I want to focus on is we are to look to someone greater than ourselves. We are to look to the Lion and the Lamb, that is Christ, the King and Conqueror. You know, my son reminded me this week just how important this is as he recounted the triumphal entry of Jesus. I looked at my son this week and I said, "What'd you learn today at school?" And he told me, you know, Jesus got on a donkey and they put down palm leaves and they put down their jackets as he entered the city. And he talked about the cross and he talked about the empty tomb. And why is that important? So how quickly all that changed, though. We go from Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of Christ, to they're chanting, "Crucify him." How quickly all that changed. So as we look at this today, what I want you to do is think about the current climate that we're in. We just had an attack in Brussels. It seems like every other week we're waking up in another attack. More hate is being pushed. And so what does this mean for us? What do we need to look at? How do we deal with this as believers? How do we deal with this as Americans? How do we deal with all that is going on around us? So right now I'm going to go to Luke 19, starting with verse 28. It says, "And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, 'Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say this, the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them." Imagine that. "And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.'" And apparently there was no argument after that. "And they brought it to Jesus. And throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.'" Now listen to that. The Pharisees, doing what they do best, they're calling out and saying, "This isn't what needs to happen. They don't need to be celebrating you. This is blasphemy." And they said, "You need to rebuke your disciples." And Jesus said, "Even if I told them to be quiet, the very stones would praise my name." Now, why do I bring this up? I bring this up because we have news worth sharing. We are also a very broken people. Again, look at today's climate. Look at what we see. Anger and hate abound. Lost and brokenness is all around us. We should look to something greater than ourselves. And it's important that we don't miss this. And it's important that we look to the one that paved the way. So that is what we need to be doing. That is who we need to be celebrating. Now, granted, Jesus was loud and people turned quickly because his message hurt and stepped on some toes. So why was the transition so quick from celebrating his entering in to the city to then calling out for his crucifixion? So we go further in Luke 22. Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put him to death, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priest and officers how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and sought an opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of a crowd. So now we have Judas, one of his boys, one of his disciples, looking at, well, how can I get Jesus to those that want to kill him? So then from there, we see the institution of the Lord's Supper. And when the hour came, he reclined at a table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you that I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and to divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. Now that's pointing to Judas. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they begin to question one another, which of them could it be who was going to do this? So that's what we see. So we see that Jesus sits down with his disciples, one of them being Judas. And he tells what is to come. So what did Jesus show there? He showed there that people matter. And that even your enemy, you should love. Jesus sat down with the man that was going to turn him over to be killed. So we see this in Christ's reaction. So how are our reactions supposed to look like that? What are we supposed to do when we interact with people? So then Christ's answer to this is he prays, and then he tells others to pray with him. So in verse 39, and he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them, sleeping? For sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. So Christ is about to face the cross. And what does he do? He prays. What does he tell his disciples to do? He tells them to pray. And what do? They fall asleep. Folks, we have so much that we need to be doing. So much that we need to be doing. And yet we fall asleep. And then we go further in verse 47. While he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus. Now listen to this. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? And when those who were around him saw what would follow, they said, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, no more of this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple and elders who had come out against him, have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. So they go after they arrest Jesus for saying that he is the Son of God. They arrest him. And then we see that Jesus is mocked and he's beaten. And then we have Jesus before Pilate. So in Luke 23, it says, then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar. And saying that he himself is Christ, a king. And Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, you have said so. Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, I find no guilt in this man. But they were urgent, saying, he stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee even to this place. So then we jump ahead in verse 18, it says, but they all cried out together away with this man and release to us Barabbas, a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demands should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for his insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. So again, we have the triumphal entry into the city. Everyone's celebrating. Then we have one of his own disciples turn on him and turn him in to the authorities. Then you have one of his own disciples deny that he even knows Jesus. With Peter, he denies he even knows Jesus as the crowd questions him. And now we have the crucifixion. And as in verse 26, "And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, 'Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?' Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, they were crucified. And the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the ruler scoffed at him, saying, 'He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is Christ of God, his chosen one.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering sour wine and saying, 'If you are the King of Jews, save yourself.' There was also an inscription over him that said, 'This is the King of the Jews.' And then one of the criminals who were hanged railed against him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation. And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into our kingdom, when you come into your kingdom.' And he said to him, 'Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.' And then Christ took his last breath." Does it end there? Praise God, it doesn't. We're going to talk about that when we come back. And we're back. This is Andrew Wood. Thanks for listening today. What we're doing today is we are diving into and discussing Holy Week. And so the first segment was a lot of scripture, and you might have been listening saying, why is he just reading a ton of scripture? But the whole point is because this week for believers is a very important week. I mean, it is the gospel summed up. It is as we talk about Christ going to the cross and what that means for us, what that means for our future, what that means for our eternity. So I just went through that those verses, and we talked about what kind of led to that, how the people in the city welcomed Christ with open arms, and then just not too long after that were chanting, "Crucify him." You know, as the mob called out, "Release Barabbas, the murderer, and put Jesus on a cross." And so let's pick back up verse 44. It says, "It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And having said this, he breathed his last breath." Now, verse 47 is interesting. "Now, when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, 'Certainly, this man was innocent.'" And so we have Christ on the cross. Christ first says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He then is being mocked not only by soldiers on the ground, but they're gambling over who gets his garments. Now he's being mocked by one of the men on the cross next to him, saying, "Hey, if you are who you say you are, get us off of these crosses." And then you have the other guy on the cross saying, "Hey, shut your mouth. We deserve to be here. This man, Jesus, is innocent." And then he looks at Jesus and says, Father, remember me. And what does Jesus say to him? Jesus says, I will remember you. So even as he's dying, he's forgiving and he's saving. That is what Christ did. That was the model that we have. And you know, it could have ended there. It could have ended with the cross. It could have ended there, and what we would have is a pretty cool guy with a lot of cool stories. He healed some people. He made the blind to see. And it could have ended. It could have just been, hey, man, that's just a great history and a great story of a cool dude, but he ultimately died like everyone else dies. But let's read further and see what happened. So, now in Luke 24, starting with verse 1, we see, but on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went and they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus, while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. So what they're saying there is, hey, Christ told you that this was going to happen. And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale. And they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what happened. So it didn't end at the cross. Christ did exactly what he said he was going to do. I'm going to be put on a cross. I'm going to die, but it's not over. They're going to put me in a tomb, and then I'm going to raise from the dead. So he is alive, and that is great news. News worth celebrating and championing. Yeah, that's what we need to do. Death could not hold our king. The tomb was empty. Promises kept. And do you know that the tomb is still empty? Now, why do I bring all of this up? Why do I talk about this as we're supposed to be talking about pro-life stuff and things going on at Hope? I bring this up because so many of our patients, and maybe so many of you today, everyone has failed you. People have made promises and they've never come through with their promises. Your loved ones have gone. Maybe you lost the only person that you loved. And you feel alone. But what we have in this story, what we have in this truth is we have a Savior that kept His promise. We have a Savior that isn't dead and in some tomb somewhere. We have a Savior that kept His promise and then rose from the dead. So even death couldn't hold Him. That's what we have. That's the message we have. So if you're listening today and you're a believer, that's the message you have. The tomb is empty. So does your days represent that? Does your life represent that? As a believer, are you living as if Christ is still in the tomb or as if the tomb is empty? Maybe you're lost. Maybe you think all of this is just junk that I made up or that someone else made up. But what does your life represent? What are you holding on to? Where's your hope? If you don't know and understand that the tomb is empty and that Christ went to the cross for us and that promises were fulfilled, if that doesn't mean anything to you, then where do you even have hope for tomorrow? What's the point of any of this? Where's the hope for those that lost loved ones in Brussels? If none of this matters. these are questions that we need to be asking ourselves as we look and reflect on Holy Week. You know, Christmas tends to get all the limelight, and a lot of reasons for that: the birth of Christ, the Santa and Christmas lights, and all the great memories that we have at Christmas. But do you know, without Christmas alone doesn't bring about salvation. The birth of Christ alone doesn't do anything. But when you bring it all together, the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection, what you have is the gospel. You have truth that not only changes lives, but it transforms and saves lives. So the reason I bring this up today as we talk about hope is because the only reason we get up every single day at Hope Resource Center is because of this truth. Not just because we want to see babies saved, not just because we want to see abortion become unthinkable, not just because we want to serve this community, but because the tomb is empty. So this very fact that the tomb is empty means we have work to do. Victory has been won. So now we operate from a posture of victory and not defeat, because the tomb is empty. That's why we reflect on Holy Week. That's why people will be attending church services on Good Friday. That's why, I mean, think about it. How many people go to church on Easter but not any other day? Why do you think that is? Because deep down, they're searching for something. They want to believe. They want to have hope that there's something greater than themselves that conquered even death, and death on a cross. Do you know right now, ISIS around the world, they're crucifying people? Did you know that? Did you know that they're going in and attacking nuns and murdering them? Did you know that they're thinking about crucifying a priest this Friday, on Good Friday? Why do you think they're doing that? They're doing that because they don't like us, for one. They hate us. But second, because they want to make a point. And what we have to understand is we serve a sovereign God. And what we have to understand is the tomb is empty. So again, we are operating from a posture of victory. And I'm going to connect this more to Hope Resource Center when we get back. We'll be back in a sec. And we're back. We've been diving in today to Holy Week and looking at what the Bible says about it. And now we're going to look at how that connects to the work that we do at Hope Resource Center, what that means for believers, why we do what we do at Hope Resource Center. And the whole point is, this has everything to do with what we do. This truth alone, that the tomb is empty, gives us hope. And it is news that's worth sharing. I mean, this is who we are. You know, we're providing medical services at Hope Resource Center for men and women, but we're also providing mentoring and sitting down with them and having conversations, conversations that matter, conversations that show that they are valuable and that they matter, that these patients matter to us. So this week is a very special week as Easter approaches and we celebrate an empty tomb. Christ's resurrection changes everything. Not only did he do the work on the cross, but he completed that work when he rose from the dead. Death could not hold him. This truth must not be lost on us. I bring this up today because my heart breaks for so many that come in our doors at Hope. Many are lost and in search of fulfillment in the pleasures of this world, pleasures that offer a brief respite but lasting turmoil. We are going to be disappointed with what the world has to offer. We are going to be left wanting more. Hope has seen over 20,000 patients since opening our doors in 1997. Let that number sink in. Over 20,000 patients since opening our doors in 1997. What does this say about the need and brokenness of our community? Just yesterday, we served 7 walk-in patients seeking a pregnancy test. This is becoming the norm. We love what we do, but we long for this need to be remedied. John Piper once said, "Missions exist because worship doesn't." Piper's point with his provocative statement was to show that missions will no longer be needed when worship exists globally. Piper knows that this doesn't happen apart from Christ's return, but his illustration is a poignant one. I often think about hope and pregnancy centers in the same way. We exist because abortion clinics exist and are preying on the most vulnerable among us. We exist because men and women across the country are making poor sexual decisions, decisions that have lasting impacts. I long for the day that we are not needed. I long for the day that men and women are made whole and are not struggling with drugs, abuse, unplanned pregnancies, abortions, sexually transmitted diseases, and so forth. I long for this day, but we don't reach this outcome ultimately until Christ returns. So what does that mean for us in the meantime? What are we to do with ourselves and our time while we anxiously await the second advent? These questions seem heavy, but the answers are simple. We are to go to work. We are to continue to get up every single day seeking to impact the life of another. We are to assist with missions because we long to see worship, and we are to assist with pregnancy centers because we long to see men and women served, loved, and made whole again. Are you doing that today? Are you desiring to see others redeemed and loved? Your work in these areas could change and potentially save lives. Stop coiling back away from the storms of our day. Instead, walk toward the storm and reach out to someone in need. Do you cling to something greater than yourself? Do you cherish what Christ did on the cross? Do you marvel at an empty tomb? When these questions are answered in the affirmative, we should be motivated to tell others how they can do the same. We have a message worth sharing. Our patients have been told a great deal in their lives. They have been abused and rejected. They are seeking solace in a needle or in the arms of another. This is the harsh truth that so many in a church pew blatantly disregard. We, however, have news for them that could change everything. We have news of a Savior that sacrificed what we couldn't so that we may be redeemed. A Savior that brings life to the dead, love to the unloved, value to the devalued, and names to the unnamed. I love Holy Week. I love reflecting on the goodness of our Father. This is love, willingly doing something for another even when they are undeserving. This is what Christ did, and this is what we are to do. Spend your day seeking to make it a better day for another. We would love for you to do that at Hope, but if not Hope, please engage somewhere and love someone. So that's what we are to do. That's what Holy Week is about, is looking at what Christ did. He modeled it for us. He paved the way. He showed us this is how you love. This is the way a Christian should act. So are we doing those things? I mean, think about the Savior that we have and the news that we have. A Savior that brings life to the dead, love to the unloved, value to the devalued, and names to the unnamed. How many unnamed babies have been aborted since 1973? How many unnamed faces go in and out of abortion clinics every single day? People that are lost, people that are just seeking someone to step in and help. Well, at Hope Resource Center, we step in and we help, but we don't pray on them. We pray for them, but we're not praying, P-R-E-Y, on them. We're not seeking to make a dollar off their back. We're not seeking to pad our pockets by taking advantage of them. We're going to take care of them at no charge and no cost to them. The patient pays absolutely zero. So those 7 walk-ins yesterday walked right in off the street needing a pregnancy test. You know what all of them had in common? None of them had to pull out their wallet. None of them had to pull out their purse. None of them had to pay us a dime. Now, were we planning on 7 walk-ins yesterday? No. We had an appointment schedule. But it doesn't matter. Why? Because we love them. And again, we operate from a posture of victory. It's going to be taken care of. We're going to find the funding. We're going to have the pregnancy test. We're going to have everything that we need. We're going to have the ultrasound machines. We're going to have the staff. We're going to have all of that. Why? Because we have faith and because we love. And it was modeled for us by Christ. When Christ is on the cross and he's saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What is he doing there? He is loving those that don't deserve love. I mean, are you hearing that? He is loving those that do not deserve to be loved. You think we deserve for him to go to the cross? You think we deserve salvation? No. But that's the gospel. That's the truth of it. That even though we didn't deserve it, and even though, as Paul would say, I'm the chief of sinners, even our darkest moments, in our pits of despair, in the valleys that we find ourselves in, Christ went to the cross for you on that day. That's the message we have for our patients. Now, don't hear this to think that as soon as they walk in the door, we're putting them with a pastor and they're going to be beat over the head with the Bible. That's not the case. But this is our identity. This is who we are. And the very love that we have for them is unexplainable without the cross and an empty tomb. That's why on their exit surveys they write, I don't really understand why they're as nice as they are. My nurse or my nurse practitioner was happy and loved me and took care of me. And I don't really understand that because it's unexplainable without the cross and an empty tomb. Like, are you hearing that today? When you love someone like that, when you love someone so hard that they don't even understand why you were loving them, the only way to explain that is because there's been a life transformation inside of you. And what is that? That is, you were dead and now you're alive. Because of who? Because of Christ. Because of the cross and an empty tomb. So this week isn't just about bunnies and hiding Easter eggs and doing all that we like to make it. This week isn't about going out and getting new Easter clothes and taking spring pictures. It isn't about that. What this week is about is the cross and an empty tomb. And the wonderful truth that we have that our Savior said, you are worthy. I love you enough to do this. Not because of anything you've done, but because of who He is. So celebrate that this week. Celebrate that with your family. Celebrate that with your friends. Celebrate that at your church. Celebrate that with people that you don't even know. They should know how excited you are for what this week represents. Because we were given opportunities at times, and at times we miss those opportunities. I've done it myself. And we look back and go, shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have missed that opportunity. Or like in my case, my wife will look at me and go, you missed that opportunity. You should have shared the gospel with them. Why didn't you? That's tough. That's tough language, but it's language that we need to hear. So the reason I wanted to do this today and look at the text and look at what the scripture says is because I think, first off, you need to hear it. I don't know how many of us are going to take the time to sit down and read the scripture as it talks about Jesus' triumphant entry and then him going to the cross and then him raising from the dead. So just in case you are not going to take the time to read it this week, you just heard all of it in this show. And then the second reason why I want to do that is because that's why we do what we do at Hope Resource Center. You know, when I look at that number of 20,000 appointments since 1997, 20,000? That's 20,000 opportunities. 20,000 opportunities to love someone that might have never been loved. 20,000 opportunities to serve someone that was in need. 20,000 opportunities to celebrate life. Not just life of baby, but life of mom, life of dad, life of family. 20,000 opportunities to share the truth. 20,000 opportunities to share the gospel and 20,000 opportunities to look and say, we serve a king that's home is not found in a tomb, for the tomb is empty and he is alive. That's what we celebrate. That's what we should be celebrating every single day, but especially this week. And that's what we do at Hope Resource Center. We're going to be back and recap everything and end the show. Thanks.
There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day.
And we're back. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thanks for listening today. Today we have... it's been a little bit different show, as we haven't talked politics. We haven't talked really necessarily legislation or anything going on in the pro-life movement. But what I have done is walk through why this week is called Holy Week. And what does that mean? Why do we look at the text? Why do we celebrate Easter? Why do we have Good Friday? What are these things? Well, these things are the gospel. So we live in light of the cross and an empty tomb. And without it, without an empty tomb, it was just some good dude that did a lot of cool things. But because of that empty tomb, it was more than that. It was a Savior that came to do what we couldn't. And man, it's such a great story. And so that is what this week is about. That is why we do what we do at Hope Resource Center. So some people will say, well, y'all have an agenda at Hope. Well, yeah. I mean, I guess every organization has some kind of agenda. Our agenda would be serving and loving on the men and women of this community, celebrating life, watching as people choose life, but also having opportunities to share truth with them. Truth that as they look for solace in a needle or in the arms of a partner, we have something greater than that. We have something greater than that. We have a Jesus that cares. I mean, if you go on and read in Scripture, we see in Revelation that it says, He will wipe away every tear from their eye. Now, think about that. Now, think about our patients and the tears that they have. No one has wiped away their tears. Many of them. They haven't seen what that is like. But there's a God that loves them. There's a God that says, I will wipe away your tears. I mean, that's a great truth that we have. So, like John Piper's quote that says, missions exist because worship doesn't. Well, we exist because of all the things that I spoke of earlier. So I do long for the day that Hope Resource Center is not needed. But folks, that I don't know when that day's coming, until the second advent, until Christ comes back. So while we're here, we have work to do. And we're needed. We had 7 walk-ins yesterday. We had 3 or 4 walk-ins today on top of our appointment schedule. So we are needed. And we cannot do this work without you. So if you are sitting there today and you're going, I celebrate this week, and I look at Good Friday, I look at the cross, I look at an empty tomb, and I celebrate what Christ has done for me. Well, what does that mean for your life? Does your everyday actions and conversations show that you celebrate that? Does your everyday actions, conversations, and relationships show that you believe the tomb is empty? Because it's the greatest truth this world's ever known. There's moms and dads right now that are going to bed in Brussels, no longer having their children be alive. There's children going to bed tonight with their moms and dads dead because of an attack in Brussels. Well, we have the truth of an empty tomb that brings hope and brings peace. So it's not about what we can do. It's about what he did. That is the message we take to the nations. So we should be getting up. We should be seeking worship to exist in all parts of the globe. And in the same way, we should be getting up and seeking to meet the needs of those around us. And so if you celebrate life, and if you believe truly that life matters, then if that means coming and volunteering at Hope, then by all means, come and volunteer at Hope. If that means writing a check to Hope, then by all means, write a check to Hope. If that means praying for Hope and the patients that come in our doors, then by all means, pray for us and the patients. But folks, it's got to motivate you to do something. The fact that tomb is empty should be motivating you to know the victory has already been won. So we know how it ends. We already know. So now we stand up and we go to work and we love and we serve and we do all that we've been called to do. So this week, as you reflect, don't let this week get lost on Easter bunnies and Easter eggs. I'm not saying don't do those things. Have fun with your kids and all of that. But don't neglect the truth that is the cross and an empty tomb. Tell your kids about the cross and an empty tomb. Tell your friends about a cross and an empty tomb and what that means for us. Why do you think it is Christianity and Christians are the ones that are going all around the world to try to meet the needs for others? When there's a tornado in this country, who's the first to show up? Christians, to go help. When there's needs in Africa and other places around the world, who's the first to show up? Christians. Why? Because we know the tomb is empty and we have work to be done. And we have news worth sharing. And the victory's already been won, so let's go. So when you look around you and you see the need, you see unplanned pregnancies, you see abortion clinics popping up everywhere, you see poor sexual decisions being made, be motivated to get up and do something about it. Come join us at Hope. You can learn more about us at investinghope.com. We're having a banquet on April 28th. You can learn more about that on our website as well. We would love to have you. We would love to stand with you for life. I hope you'll be praying for us as we continue this work and as we see more and more patients every single day. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again next week. Have a happy Easter. Celebrate an empty tomb this week.